Do you believe in Jesus?
Yes.
I'm sure that we all do, or we wouldn't be here this morning. How much do you believe?
All my heart.
Very good. Good answer. And I think probably most of us would have that same response. We believe with all our heart, or 100%. Here's a little bit harder question, maybe. Do I always believe with all my heart? Do I always believe 100%? Or maybe sometimes do I believe 75% or 50%? I think that because we're all different, we might get a little bit different response on that question. So I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning about belief and how much we believe. And that's really, in most cases in the Bible, belief is synonymous with faith. How much faith do we have? How much belief do we have? And what I'd like to do is look at a couple stories about belief and unbelief in the same person. If you would like to follow along, we're going to look first at Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 14. And this is a story where a man had a son, and he's referred to as a child in one verse, who had an unclean spirit. And this child was both deaf and mute. He couldn't hear, he couldn't speak. Beginning in verse 14, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing with them?' Then one of the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not.' He answered him and said, 'O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me.' Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, 'Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.' Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, 'He is dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So he said to them, 'This kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting.'" Verse 22, Jesus told the Father, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." This man had belief, didn't he? He says in verse 22, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us," which indicated he had some belief, but he knew that Christ was performing miracles. That's why he brought his son. Christ's fame surrounded him. He couldn't go anywhere by this time. People surrounded him in multitudes. That he knew about Christ, but how much did he believe is the question. He believed enough to bring his son, didn't he? But yet he says in verse 22, "If you can do anything." So Jesus kind of answered him the same way. Jesus says, "If you can believe, all things are possible." And then the statement in verse 24 that really is the focal point of this story for our lesson today. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Can't we all identify with that? Can't we all understand that, yes, we believe, but at times it wavers. At times our faith is not what it ought to be. I think this man admitted his weakness. He admitted that he wasn't as strong in this area as he needed to be, and he asked for help from God. And of course, Christ was compassionate and healed him. Do you think that the Father's belief became greater after his son was healed? Of course it did. There was no doubt then, was there? Let's look also at John, the 11th chapter. And that's where we find the story of Lazarus, the death and resurrection of Lazarus by Christ. It's the first 45 verses. It's a little bit lengthy, but I'm going to read it. We have time to read it, and there's a lot of good things that we can gain from this if you want to follow John 11, beginning in verse 1. Remember, Lazarus was a very good friend of Jesus, and also his sisters, Mary and Martha, were too. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. As you know, Christ was not in Bethany. He was somewhere else. We're not told where exactly. But he was a ways off. Here he knew his very close friend was sick and about to die, yet he seemingly ignored that. Verse 7. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now that just almost doesn't sound right, does it? It says, I'm glad I wasn't there. But there's a reason for that. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go that we may die with him. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So from the time, you know, Jesus was some distance away from the time the message got to him till the time he got there, Lazarus, at some point in time, had died and been dead 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, which is probably where Jesus was, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were in her house, who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The identical words her sister Martha said. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Christ's behavior throughout this whole story, the main purpose of it was to make believers. It wasn't to raise Lazarus from the dead. Yes, he did that. But he could have healed him from afar. He didn't even have to go where Lazarus was to heal him when he was alive. But he let him die. And why is it that he wanted to make believers? Verse 4, "For the glory of God, and that he might be glorified through this action of publicly raising Lazarus." Verse 14 and 15, I've made a comment about that. The statement by Christ that "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." And why was that? So he could make believers of his own disciples when he got there and raised Lazarus. Apparently their belief was kind of weak too, wasn't it? They were still in the stage of forming their faith in Christ. You know, at times they said, "Yes, we believe," and acted otherwise. At times we know that their faith wavered too, until after the crucifixion, after his resurrection, and they received the Holy Spirit, there was no doubt in their minds then. Verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to Mary, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And he asked her directly, "Do you believe this, Mary?" That's what he asks us today too. If we believe in him, we will never die. Does that just mean believe only? It does not. It means we must believe, but we must do much more. The common belief of much of the world is just believe that Christ is the Son of God and he will save you is certainly not what is taught in the Scripture. We are to believe in much more taught by Christ. Verses 39 and 40. Here Mary and Martha were happy to see Christ, and they arrive at the grave, but Martha still didn't understand, did she? Christ said, "Roll the stone away." And Martha said, "Oh, don't do that, Lord. He's been dead 4 days." She didn't believe, did she? If she really believed that Christ was going to raise him from the dead, she would have probably been pushing the rock herself. If Mary and Martha had greater faith and belief, perhaps they would have said to Christ when they saw him, "We're glad you're here to raise our brother from the dead," instead of, "Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died." Isn't that what happens to us many times? Verses 41 and 42. Christ publicly prayed to his Father. He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but I say this because of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me." Everyone heard him say that. If he had just thought that in his mind, or if he had went privately and prayed, they would have no idea what he said to his Father. But he said this publicly to make the believers. And then we see, of course, he raised Lazarus. And then we see in verse 45, many of the Jews who were Mary's friends and supporters, many of them believed. But in verse 46, some of them, of course, did not. And we know that that was the mixed reaction Christ always had, the people had to Christ when they saw things that he did and believed or did not believe. You know, there's a lot of other stories in the Scriptures about belief. The Bible is really full of it. What about Peter, who believed he could walk on the water, and he did. For a while, didn't he? But then his belief and his faith wavered. He looked around him and he saw the big waves and he became scared and he started to sink. Or about his statement that he would never deny Christ, and that very night he denied him 3 times. But then the really good thing that I think we should remember about Peter is not that he failed on at least 2 occasions, but that he rebounded to become one of the foundations, one of the pillars of the church for the rest of his life. And isn't that true of all of us? Haven't we all failed at times? But does that define our life? Do we let failure define our life, or do we let Christ define it to move forward? What about Thomas? He just couldn't believe until he actually touched the wounds of Christ. He just couldn't understand it. What about Moses? He didn't believe he could face Pharaoh, did he? Here is a man from nowhere going up against the ruler of Egypt. Moses didn't believe, and he tried several times to talk God out of it. But God had chosen him, and God showed him that he could do it through his power. And that's what happened. So just because a person believes doesn't mean we believe 100% all the time. That is what we should strive for. That's what our goal is, isn't it? Because we're human, sometimes our belief might waver. But let's strive to be like the woman who knew if she could just touch Jesus' clothes, she would be healed. That's 100% faith right there, isn't it? She was convinced in her mind, if I can just get to him through this crowd and touch him, I'll be healed. And she was. Or what about Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, who came to Christ and begged him, says, to lay his hands on my daughter who is at the point of death. Then before Christ could get to his daughter, someone came and said, "She's already dead. She's died." Jesus said something extremely important to him there, and it applies to us today. It's in Mark, the 5th chapter, and verse 36. He said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid, only believe. And that's the admonition we need to take today. Do you believe enough to speak out against sin? Christ did, the apostles did, the early Christians did, and we are taught throughout the Bible to do the same. Do you believe enough to be different from your friends in Ozark and Nixa and Spokane and Sparta and Wasilla and wherever you may live? How strong is your faith? Do you believe enough to put Christ first in your life and prove it by your actions? If you have accepted Christ in your life and left Him, don't be afraid. Come back to Him. Believe in Him. He is willing to accept you. If you have never accepted Christ in your life, He wants you to believe in Him. If you have heard the Word and you believe Christ is the Son of God, and you believe He is the answer to eternal life, and He is the way to God the Father, you've already completed part of the things you need to do to be saved. If you've already completed those, then tell people, confess to people, "Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Repent from your past life and be baptized to wash away your sins. This morning, as we look at these stories of belief and unbelief, I would just ask you and myself to apply it to your own life. Help my unbelief. And Christ's answer of don't be afraid, just believe. This morning, if we can help you in any way, let it be known as we stand and sing.